last Tuesday we had a quiz here. It was good. I enjoyed it immensely. And one of the questions was about Malachi. And Irene reminded me that Malachi, the name itself, means a messenger. And this was the last message of the Old Testament, and it wasn't a very nice one. Because all the promises that God had said would happen, they would happen, but they got fed up of waiting. And so God came down and had a word with Malachi and gave him, I'm so glad I'm not a prophet, because I would have hated to have gone with this message from the last few chapters of the Old Testament to give to the people of Israel, who thought that they were the bee's knees and that no matter what happened, Jesus found it. We are the sons and daughters of Abraham. Nothing can, you know, we're going to be and go and live with God. And he more or less said, hang on a minute. Not how you are. So the promise was that they had to do what they were told. And one of the things that crossed my mind when I was thinking about this was, do we keep our promises? Well, I think we try to, don't we? I'm sure. In fact, I never say I'll promise anybody unless I really am going to do it. And I'm sure you're the same as well. You see, God, he wanted all mankind to be reconciled to himself. As we know, the great plan of mankind's salvation was God, that he engineered all this before even the world began, even before there was a dot in the darkness of space. I find that incredible. I found it incredible, you know, when they first went to the moon and they pulled back and you saw the earth, and it didn't have the impact it should have had. But when they did it in colour, and it was blue, and it was white, and it was beautiful, I thought, wow. And then they started to show you all the other planets in our solar system, and they looked dead. Because we must never forget that we are the visited planet. I don't care what they say, that there is no God, that he's never created all this, it just happens. The Big Bang theory. I don't understand what they're talking about, so I can't comment. But at the time of Christ's birth and the promise of a saviour, all of it had been forgotten in the 400 years since Malachi had got on his soapbox and give them a good roasting. Just reads. You can start with the King James Version, which I really love. And one of the things is that I want us to remember, and it'll come again at the end of this piece, is God saying to people who love him, they shall be mine, saith the Lord, when I make up my jewels. I've never thought of myself as a jewel, but I can imagine God. I imagine him threading us like pearls on a cord. You know how if you have good pearls, you've got to have them threaded properly. You can't just string them with a bit of cotton out of your sewing box. They're too precious. They have to be done correctly. And he makes up his jewels. And, you know, I'm thanking God that maybe one day I'll be a jewel. You see, many of these people had forgot God in their lives. Not just the people, the ordinary folks, but the priests, the high priests. Everybody had forgotten what they should do. Malachi's prophecy ended with a curse. And there was a notice. I can imagine this notice, and it said, you have been warned. God's wonderful gift that we don't come to worship God because it's a nice thing to do on a Sunday. We come because of all he has done for you and me. And those that we love, those that we don't love, he's still done it. You know, then as now in 2022, we try and continue to be God's people in a world that seems to be slipping away from him. We've got to come to terms with the fact that God's gift is one that we don't inherit. I've never had any inheritance. Has anybody ever had any inheritance here? Everybody's shaking their head. No. Oh, so yeah, there was a little yes there. I'm not going to ask you what it was, but I've never had an inheritance. I've had a house that had to be cleared out, you know, and there wasn't much of an inheritance in that, because we weren't that kind of family. You know, when Jesus was presented to the devout Simeon in the temple, we've been thinking about that, or we should be, because it should have been the eighth day when he was born. And they brought him to this dear man who, for many, many years, this elderly man, and he'd been given a promise. He kept the promise. He wanted to see the Saviour before he died. That was the promise that he wanted God to keep. For when the Lord Jesus Christ would come on earth. And he took Jesus in his arms, a tiny baby. And he says this, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelations, and this is another good word, to the Gentiles. That would have been a shock for some in Jerusalem, and for the glory of your people Israel. We read Mary and Joseph marveled at the old man's words. They were overcome that this venerable man was speaking about their baby. Couldn't believe it. Jesus Christ, the world's greatest hope. There are so many suffering throughout the world at this time. You know, we can go through the list. Lost homes, lost jobs, natural disasters, sicknesses, family difficulties, health scares. We are expected to tell them the good news of salvation through Christ. Dorothy mentioned the same thing last week, and she mentioned the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, you know, you can't hammer people with a Bible over their head, but it's us that's got to go out there filled with love and joy and peace and patience. Oh, I do want patience. Jeff once said, I want patience and give it me now. And, you know, we do. That's it, isn't it? I am one of the most impatient people. Anybody sitting in my car when I'm driving knows that everybody else knows I'm impatient. But goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, these are all the gifts of the Spirit that we can go out. And I do want a double dose of patience, but I pray that you might pray for me with that. You see, we're in the business of telling this big wide world that Jesus is the world's only hope, and that's going to be difficult. And they're going to not bother, and they will not talk about us, and they will not come to us. But you know, I think with kindness. Next door but one to me, I have a friend. He is a friend. And him and his wife always make sure I'm okay. And Zishan and his wife, they brought me a Christmas gift, which was a surprise, but I got it. And he said, will you read our holy book? I said, only if you'll read mine. So he gave me his and I gave him mine. And I thought, well, I can't, pressure him. But I've never known a man to be so kind and so helpful. And I try to be kind and helpful to him. It'll be the word, Jesus, that changes him, not Jean Tavner. You know, we are here to look into the lives of others and try and help. You know, but if we do have God with us, we have also that promise that he who stands firm to the end will be saved. This is salvation, born in a stinking cave. This is salvation wrapped in strips of cloth. This is salvation placed in an animal's feeding trough. And through him and him alone and what he did on Calvary's tree would salvation and the promise of everlasting life come to the whole world itself. And Malachi had given that message. Isaiah had given an indication, and all the Old Testament prophets had pointed to Jesus. And Malachi, if you like, was the last one standing, last man standing. You see, the prophet Malachi and all Israel would have a very long wait, some 400 years. And it's interesting that on 430, that would be the time when Jesus would pick up the ministry. This moment that we celebrate as Christmas that's just gone by was lost to all of the day, with the exception of humble shepherds. We always said there's three of them. We don't know, could have been a dozen. But we'll call it three, and the three magi. They could have been a retinue. But no matter how many, there were only two classes, the lowliest class and the highest class. And when you think about it, you know, all these years have gone by, and they had been forgotten now. In this present age, many do not know who God Almighty is. In this supposedly Christian country, I read in the paper a couple of weeks ago that a percentage of young people really believed that the earth was flat. Where's that come from? But you see, it's like, sadly, the people that are against people making as well. I'm not going into that. But there's one thing that we can know for certain, that God does not break his promises. At this time, God's people were going through a time from bad to worse. Even the church of its day, they couldn't have cared less either. They were giving a second-hand service to God. And we've got to be careful that we don't give a second-hand service to God. There was anything will do attitude. And we've all got to be in our heart to know that when we look to God, when we pray to God, that we've got to be as humble as we possibly can and give him the very best that we can. You see, Israel was fed up of waiting. Where was this promised Messiah? When is God going to act? The priests of God were hypocrites. They gave Almighty God not the best, but soiled goods and anything they could, thought they could get away with. That's a sound that I know well. So God would begin his message through Micah right into the Old Testament with some very telling words. And it started then because it said there, I have loved you. People can be cynical about God's love. They use political and economical progress as a means of success. You know, God's been good to me today because I got, you know, voted into this, that and the other. that day when there was so much corruption and a poor economy at the time of Malachi, the Israelites truly believed that God didn't love them anymore. And as the years rolled by, that would become familiar. Times and people don't change without God. The imperfect gifts, the expecting God to accept, reminds us that God wants our best. God warned the priests, the church of the day. God asked the church to give him the glory to his name. Accept God for who he is, the almighty creator of the whole of the universe. The priests and the people did not take these warnings. They didn't take them seriously enough. What is important to our God? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 says this: love him with all your heart, your soul, and might. To me, this means reading and listening to his word. This holy word that shines upon our daily, you know, our daily activities. We need to take time to read his word. Here it seems the priests had stopped loving God, and the outcome was that they neither knew nor cared what he desired. Sin abounded. People were unfaithful in their homes. People acted just as they wanted, just as they liked. And seemingly, they were getting away with it. Well, they must have done for 400 years, mustn't they? They were getting away with it. They'd heard nothing from God, so anything goes. They were happy to just do what they wanted. And Malachi told them, as he tells us this morning, there would be a day of reckoning. God would come. There would be a messenger to announce his coming. Of course, the messenger to the Israelites would be John the Baptist. We are waiting for that second coming when the Lord comes in all his glory. God said to them, be faithful, despite all circumstances. Do right by me with your worship and tithing. What did he say? Bring the whole tithe into my storehouse. You know, we seem to forget that the priests of that day and the priests of the time of Jesus, there were thousands of them. And the Levites were not allowed to grow their own produce. They weren't allowed to look after their own cattle and sheep and donkeys and what have you. They were being looked after by the people that brought it into the temple. Such a part went to God, such a part went to the Levites, and they were starving. Test me, God says in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. The answer, keep giving God what he deserves and he will not hold back on his blessings to you and me. Tell you a story from a long time ago. I might have said it before, I'm sorry. As you get old, you forget a bit. But it's a story that when I first got married, and then we had Gareth, and I think I'd just gone back to the church in Ashton. And I had two coats, a posh one for Sunday, and a raincoat, which came with me every day, shopping, doing everything. And one of the young women from another church in Ashton, from Cockbrook, I met her and I could see that she was a pregnant lady. And she went to church, there were not many people looking after her. And she said, you know, I'm looking for a pram. I said, I've got one. Can I have my pram? I said, mine was second hand. So if you don't mind third hand, anything will do. Good. So she said, I'll come and pick it up if you like. I can push it back home. I said, yeah, okay. So I got Bert to get it down from... It wasn't a palace on West Street. It was two up, two down. And the two up, two down was really a one up and a one down. It was that small. And he lumbered this pram. I thought, do up, she out. She wants it after him doing this. And as she came in, I saw that her coat didn't meet. And I'd been to church for a long time before. 10 years I'd left. And this voice in my head said, give her one of yours. And I'm thinking, going, I've only got two. And I'm not giving him my posh coat. So I'm going up these stairs, and this voice said, the good one. No. Well, I couldn't get it. And this is no revelation of me being a goody-goody. I didn't want to give him the new coat. But I did. And I trotted around with this raincoat for about a fortnight. And the women's auxiliary, bless them, I used to go with Doris. And we'd been to our church in Sale. Ashton on Mersey. And I've forgotten the lady's name, but she was so nice, and she was posh. And we'd been there and we came back, and Doris came across and she said, I've just had, I don't know her name, this particular lady on the phone, she said she wanted me to ask if anybody in the church needed clothes. And this lady was as big as I was then. And she said, I thought of you. She didn't know about this young girl from Cockbrook. And I still smile. I had about four coats. I had a couple of frocks. She even sent us shoes because they were the right size. And I shall never doubt God again, because that was perfectly true. And I thank God for that insight of his giving. So how can we not give back to him? You know, there would be out of this nation, before the birth of Christ, many unfaithful years. But there were those who feared and loved and served the Lord. They would speak often of what the Lord had done for them. And then we have God has a book of remembrance, drawn up in which he recorded the names who loved and feared him. And the word went on to say those wonderful words from the King James Bible. They shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels. His promise to believers this morning, to you and to me, God will gather us to himself, because we are his precious possession. All God's promises will be fulfilled. And I know that, like me, you want to be called one of these precious jewels, kept safe, free from harm, and with our Saviour throughout all eternity. Amen. Our last hymn.